So it's the first Sunday in Lent. And for those that weren't here for Ash Wednesday service, for the bidding of Lent into a Holy Lent, this is the time in the church year where we prepare for Easter. During Lent is when we prepare for Holy Week and our remembrance and commemoration of Jesus gathering the disciples together for the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, continuing into Good Friday when we commemorate Jesus' crucifixion, and then we gather together on Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection, the new life that Jesus enters into and invites us into by the power of God. And so in this time, traditionally, there is a call to fasting and to prayer and to giving of alms and to different spiritual disciplines in order to kind of make us ready to help us be able to hear the voice of God better in our hearts. And what I talked about on Ash Wednesday is the trouble oftentimes of this time is that we get so caught up in the doing of things that we forget that the whole purpose of Lent is for us to make ready, not to do something, but to open our hearts to God. Because God is already there. There is no way for us to draw closer. There is no way for us to do anything to make God love us more or to make things more right between us and God. That's what Jesus has done for us already. That is why we are preparing. But we make ready, we open our hearts, we settle, and we try to let a lot of the commotion and a lot of the distractions of the world subside that we might be able to hear the still small voice of God in our lives. And then we start on Lent 1. We start this Sunday being reminded of what this is, why this is all necessary in the first place. There's readings that talk very clearly of the idea of temptation and of the fall from Genesis and our eating of the tree of good and evil, our desire to be like God ourselves, our desire to be in control, our desire to be the ones making the decisions in our world and in our lives. It's an important starting place because I think all of this doesn't really make any sense if we're not coming from a place of need, right? There's no purpose for a savior if there's nothing that we need saving from. But it's not my job to try to shout at you and convince you, no, even if you don't think you need saving, you really do need saving. And I know there's a lot of ministers, there's a lot of churches where that's kind of how the message goes, but that's, I don't think, my purpose. My purpose is to stand here with you because I think the world does a really good job of reminding us that we don't have it all together, that we don't do everything the right way, that we don't love as we ought, we don't live as we ought. We know that in our hearts. The trouble is that we do a really good job of distracting ourselves from that knowledge and from that realization. At least I know I do. And I was meditating a little bit on today's gospel and the idea of Jesus being tempted. And this is the story, this is the part of the scriptures where often the church goes back to think of and to talk about how Jesus was tempted kind of in every way as we are, yet did not sin, as you hear that line. Only the thing is, Jesus in this reading and in the wilderness wasn't tempted as we are, because we don't have the ability to turn stones into bread. At least, I don't think we do. I know I don't. I don't have the confidence that if I threw myself off a high place that God's angels would catch me before I struck the ground. You see, the devil was tempting Jesus to use the power that he had within himself as the Son of God, to use it for purposes which it was not for. And I think therein is where we have a connection with Jesus' temptation in the desert. It's not about the things that we do as much as it is about the state in which we do them. It's the reality not of sins as in the individual things that we want to pick out and point at each other and say, well, you did this and I don't do that, and you don't do that and I do this, which is so often the temptation, I think, of the Christian. The temptation of the human being is to always want to look at the other and to see fault and to look at ourselves and see justification. I think the purpose of readings and of this time of Lent is to be reminded and to let ourselves sit with the reality that we too are in need of grace, that we too stand in need of a Savior. And we can point the finger, and a lot of times we might not be wrong, but it's not helpful to point at someone else as it is to look at our own lives, to look at our own hearts and hear the voice of God calling us into new life. You see, because God doesn't call us to look at our sin in order for us to feel bad about ourselves or to feel ashamed. In fact, it's very much the opposite. God calls us to look at our own lives and to look at our own hearts that we might be set free from the power that sin has in our lives. Because it is in ignoring the sin in our lives that gives it power. It is when I ignore the parts of my life that aren't the way they're supposed to be that I lash out in the worst of ways. But when light is shined on it, when I look at it, when I am honest with myself and say, yeah, that's a part of who I am, and I also hear the voice of God saying, and I love you anyway, you are forgiven, you are set free, it loses its power over me. I'm not interested in all the stuff that we do or don't do. I'm not interested in pointing the finger or us pointing fingers at one another about how we ought to live. What I'm interested in is us coming before the throne of God, seeking God's grace and mercy for the parts of our lives that we know don't live up to the calling that is in our lives, that don't live up to the way we were created to be. To receive the forgiveness and the voice of God that looks at you and at me and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I love you. You are my beloved. Come and join with me as my child. The sin is there and the sin is real, and we need to be honest with ourselves about it. Because at the end of the day, we hurt one another. I know my actions too often hurt the people around me. I know that too often my actions and my thoughts hurt me. And I know God wants me to learn to love myself more deeply, and in turn learn to love the people around me more deeply. For me, the power of Lent is in that journey downward and inward. And yes, praying and reading my Bible and fasting and all of those kinds of things can help for sure. Don't get me wrong. They are a real part of our lives, but they're not the ends themselves. They're just a part of the bigger picture that is us getting comfortable with God's love for us. We have tremendous power as human beings. God has given the world to us to be stewards over it. We have tremendous power to hurt and to love, to bring life into this world and to bring death. And we can fight and quibble over all the details, and our church is really good at doing it, as evidenced by the many splits and schisms we've experienced in the last 2,000 years. And maybe part of this is out of my own wounds, living through that myself in this diocese and in this church, but I am so sick of focusing on the details and the quibbles and the ways in which we disagree over the minutiae of God's law, as opposed to finding the beauty of the community that God calls us into as his people and as his children. Because we have tremendous power. And God calls us to use that power to bring life and to bring joy and to bring peace, to share the grace and the power of God's love everywhere we go. And sin is the ways in which we use that power to hurt, to maim, to destroy, to tear down, the ways we use that power for self-loathing and for a low view of ourselves and our place in this world. God loves you and thinks you're amazing. My hope is that every day you can start to see that more and more. My hope is that every day I can start to see that more and more, because it's so hard to see sometimes. For some reason, and I don't know why, it's just so much easier for me to listen to the voice that says I'm worthless and I'm not good enough and that I should be something else. I should look a different way or I should be a different way. That for whatever insane reason, I want to run to that voice that lies to me. And if you are at all like that, if that has been your experience on any level, please, I am with you in it, and I want to fight alongside of you to remind you and to allow myself and my heart to be reminded by the still small voice of God that I am beautiful, that you are beautiful and wonderful, that you are lovable and forgivable and forgiven. You don't need to be something other than who you are for God to invite and welcome you and celebrate your presence at this table. So please come. The reading for St. David's Day is from the Gospel of Mark. And to give you a little bit of the context, it's from Mark 4, where Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, the one where the sower throws seed and some falls on thorns, some falls on rocky ground, some falls on the good soil. And then he talks about us as the people that are a light to be shined from the top of the hill, and we don't want to put our light under a bushel and hide it from the world. And then he shares this really short parable called the parable of the growing seed, which is really subtle. And it reads like this. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." I can't help but tie these two passages together today, because I think what this gospel, as simple as it is, right? It's like Jesus says, so there's grain and it grows, and this is how it grows. The end. That's what the kingdom of God is like. But I think it's so profound because so many of us, I know myself, chief of all, are just so desperate for us to get to where we're going and to forget about the path that we get there through it. Man, when I am in a rough place, I just want to get to peace so badly, and I'm so willing to ignore and miss all of the stuff, the growth that God does between where I am and where I want to be. The path that you and I are on is the path of growth. It's not a growth that you create. Plants have no ability to grow themselves. They just do it. When the land around them is the way it's supposed to be, when the water falls as it ought, it grows. And so do you, and so do I. Again, the purpose and the disciplines of Lent are not for you to force growth, because you can't do it. You can't make yourself grow faster or slower. You're going to grow. You're going to grow at God's pace because God is in your life. So if you're stressing out because you think you ought to be something and you're just not, and you feel like you've spent so much time trying to get there that you just must be worthless because you should be better than you are, that is a lie. The growth in your life is a gift from God. We don't know how it happens, and most of the time we don't even realize it's happening. It happens while we are asleep to it. But God is growing you where you are. Gosh, that sounds so cheesy. I want to take that back. It's like a Hallmark card. But it's true. The growth is God's. It's not our job to force it or to do it. It's our job to receive it. It's a free gift. And maybe it's just kind of my upbringing and the world I came out of, but I just see all around me in this world expectations that are impossible to fulfill. And ideals that seem really good on the surface but don't really deliver in the end. And I look around and I don't wonder if so many of us, if not all of us, are chasing after some idea of what we're supposed to be and how we ought to look. And then I don't wonder if none of us are really meant to look that way. My prayer and my hope, what I hope being a part of this worship and a part of this place is able to invite you into, is to become more and more the person God has created you to be. And I guarantee that person is going to look different from your neighbor. It's going to look different from everyone else in this room. It's going to look different from me. I say it time and time again, but in every way that I try to be someone else, I am failing at being who God created me to be. I'm learning to celebrate the ways in which I fail in being someone else, so that I can discover more and more who I am. Because I'm excited to live in this world with all of you, to share in this life with you and with everyone else outside these walls. That day in and day out, we could start searching after more and more that love and that life that God has created us to bring into this world, that we have been given the power to use for greatness and for beauty and for mercy and for love. And yes, we've got to confront our sin at a very real level in order to get there. And that's what this whole thing is about. But it's not about dwelling on that sin. It's about recognizing it, and it's about letting God out of that recognition forgive and grow us into the full grain that we have been created to be, that when the harvest is ready, this world might be able to reap the joy and the peace that it brings. That's the gift. That's the opportunity that you and I have been given. We get to share that with one another, with ourselves, and with the world. And I couldn't be happier to have the opportunity to do it with you. So thank you for being a part of this community. If you're here just today visiting and you never come back, thank you for being here today. We are different and better because you are here. And if you've been lifelong members, thank you for all that you have contributed to this parish and to this community. And I pray that this would just be part of the foundation that is this, the presence of God in this place, in this way, growing into this community and ministering to it. And it's such a beautiful opportunity. And so this Lent, I pray that we could stress out less about who and how we ought to be, and all the stuff that we think we're supposed to be doing. And maybe just be able to let go a little bit and hear the call of God in our hearts into what God desires for us to be and to do. That instead of worrying about all the stuff, we could worry about the power that lies within us and using that for the purposes for which God has given it to us for. That we might see transformation in life more and more each day. Amen.